KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 41 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly sunny this afternoon, a high of 55. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Governor Terry Branstad has ordered state offices to lower U.S. and state flags in honor of a Western Iowa soldier who was killed in Afghanistan. 19-year-old PFC Brandon Buttrey of Shenandoah died November 5th while serving in Kandahar Province with the U.S. Army. The governor has ordered the flags lowered to half-staff from now until 5 p.m. The funeral service for PFC Buttrey is scheduled to take place today at 11 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Shenandoah. Buttrey was stationed to Joint Base Lewis-McChord, which is southwest of Tacoma, Washington. He'd been deployed to Afghanistan in August. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Well, the results of the November 6th general election for the Audubon County Supervisors race are now official. Officials say the election board in Audubon County canvassed the votes Wednesday afternoon and determined the winner remained unchanged. The night the elections were held, just 8 votes had separated Republican Dwayne Deist and Democrat Kent Grable. Deist received 1,550 votes, while Grable had 1,542. After all the votes, including absentee, were counted, Deist had a 10-vote victory and was officially declared the winner on Wednesday. Both men were vying for the second seat on the Audubon County Board of Supervisors. Incumbent Republican Todd Nelson secured one of the open seats with more than 1,800 votes. A fourth candidate, Jerry Carter, was out of the contention for the seat with 1,080 votes. The final results of the votes were left in question because some absentee ballots were still being received in the mail and 2 provisional ballots had yet to be examined. The post-election day count, however, yielded just 5 more votes for Deist for a total of 1,555 and 3 more votes for Grable, who garnered 1,545. The Iowa Transportation Commission on Tuesday approved an amendment to the fiscal year 2013 through 2017 Iowa Transportation Improvement Program that will advance the bid letting of some highway projects into fiscal year 2013 and add new projects to the program. The amendment advanced 3 interstate stewardship projects to fiscal year 2013. In addition, 9 new projects involving investments in non-interstate pavement modernization and safety were added to the program in fiscal year 2013, with construction expected to begin next year. In Mills County, a slightly more than $8 million interstate stewardship pavement rehabilitation project covers I-29 southbound from Mills County line to Highway 92. And in Page County, a $5 million pavement rehab and widening project will occur next year from Highway 2 from the Middle Tarkio River to Clarinda. The projects were chosen because they can be developed and let for construction yet this fiscal year. The program amendment was made possible because additional funding was made available after the program was approved in June. Those funds are the result of favorable construction project lettings, Iowa DOT budget savings, and a receipt of federal funding in excess of forecasted amounts. The Iowa Transportation Commission has approved spending over $4 million for new warning equipment at 24 railroad crossings in the state. Tammy Nicholson with the DOT's rail office said the federal money is designed to improve safety where the rails cross the roadways.
A lot of them just right now are just crossbucks, so there's no flashing lights or anything. It's all up to the highway driver to really treat it as a yield sign and then look down up and down the tracks to see if there's a train coming. What these improvements will do is add active crossing protection at those locations, so there'll be flashing lights when a train is approaching, and then the gate arms will come down.
In Adams County, the 2014 Highway Railroad Crossing Safety Program means standard crossbuck warning signs will be replaced with signals and gate arms at the BNSF crossing on Chestnut Avenue. The project will receive $200,000 in federal funds. In 2013, crossbucks along 198th Avenue and 330th Street in Harrison County will also be replaced with signals and gate arms. The projects will receive a total of $237,000 in federal funds. Nicholson said the federal program pays for 90% of the cost of the improvements, and either the railroad or the local government that owns the road pays the rest. The funding ranges from $150,000 to $200,000, and they try to target the areas where the signals are most needed.
It's all based on a benefit-cost analysis. So each of these locations, it's an application-based program where the railroad or the highway jurisdiction applies to the DOT for those funds. We look at those crossings and calculate what the benefit cost would be, so what the accident reduction would be at that location compared to what the cost would be at that location. And it does take into account the amount of train traffic, the speed of the train traffic, and the amount of highway traffic that we have.
The upgrades are scheduled for 2014 and will leave about half the state's rail crossings without signals.
Over 2,600 at-grade crossings in the state that just have the crossbucks. So this is a program that we're able to address about 20 to 25 of those crossings each year and try to make those actively warning to improve safety.
And the Transportation Commission has also approved some $800,000 in funds to improve the actual crossing areas on the roadways. In southwest Iowa, the BNSF crossing in Shenandoah at West Valley Avenue received funds from the feds amounting to $125,000. And in Fremont County, $63,000 was provided through the federal safety funds for the BNSF crossing along the airport road.
We have about $900,000 a year in state funds that we partner with the railroad and the local highway jurisdiction in order to improve those surfaces so that they provide a better, smoother, and safer running surface for the traveling public.
The program will pay for the improvements of 12 crossings, with the state paying 60% of the cost. The Iowa Department of Transportation's Council Bluffs Construction Office reports work to replace a dynamic message sign will require restricting lanes on eastbound Interstate 80 at the Missouri River Bridge, or milepost zero, near Council Bluffs, to one lane beginning at 9 o'clock tonight and running until 3 a.m. Friday, weather permitting. Officials say there will be a complete closure of the eastbound I-80 for 20 minutes between 12:30 a.m. and 1:30 a.m. on Friday. The DOT reminds motorists to drive with caution, obey posted speed limits and other signs in the work area, and be aware that traffic fines for moving violations are at least double in the work zones. And as in all work zones, drivers should stay alert, allow ample space between vehicles, and always wear your seat belts. Iowa Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds and University of Northern Iowa President Ben Allen on Wednesday announced a series of community conversations featuring science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM, education and economic development, that will take place across the state in November and December. The series of community conversations is the second installment. The pair held 14 town hall meetings in September and October, seeking feedback on the governor's STEM Advisory Council priorities as the STEM initiative continues to build across Iowa. Locally, a Cass County community conversation on STEM will be held in Atlantic on Tuesday, December 11th, beginning at 11 a.m. at the Rock Island Depot at 102 Chestnut Street. And later that afternoon at 2:30 in Council Bluffs in the auditorium of Luft Hall at Iowa Western Community College. And five Shelby County residents were elected to the County Extension Council following the November 6th general election. They include Travis Lane of Shelby, Scott Burchett of Harlan, Raleigh Burton of Irwin, Julie Klein of Harlan, and Michelle Monson of Irwin. The new members will replace Lori Peters from Portsmouth, Dwight Carroll from Harlan, Sue Nyman from Elkhorn, and Ron Roseman from Harlan. Carryover council members whose terms expire at the end of 2014 include Laura Friend of Erling, Kay Goshorn of Harlan, Joe Kenkel of Defiance, and Jake Schechinger of Harlan. Council members elected in November will begin their terms in January, and the council will meet in early January to elect officers. The Extension Council is the county governing body for the cooperative extension system. Council members hire county staff, manage the county extension budget at approximately $240,000 in Shelby County, and help to determine the programming, according to Joe Kenkel, Shelby County Extension Council chairperson. The county extension office is located at 906 6th Street in Harlan. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, there is word that oil giant BP has agreed to pay a criminal penalty in the billions of dollars for the 2010 oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. A person familiar with the deal also says the two BP PLC employees face manslaughter charges over the death of 11 people in the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig that triggered the massive spill. The person said BP will plead guilty to obstruction for lying to Congress about how much oil was pouring out of the ruptured well. The number of people seeking unemployment benefits has risen to the highest level in 18 months, mainly due to Superstorm Sandy. The Labor Department says weekly applications increased by 78,000 last week, mostly because a large number of applications were filed in states damaged by the storm. People can claim unemployment benefits if their workplaces close and they don't get paid. The storm has affected the claims data for the past couple of weeks. Senator John McCain says he's taking on the Obama administration for not preventing the deadly September 11th attack in Libya. McCain told NBC's Today Show that four Americans died that didn't have to die. The U.S. ambassador to Libya and three other Americans were killed. The Republican says he'll block the nomination of U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice if she's tapped to replace Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. And President Obama gets an update on the recovery from Superstorm Sandy when he travels to New York City today. Thousands of people in the region are still without power, more than 2.5 weeks after the storm hit. News time is 8:12.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In the funeral announcements, Gary Lee Madden, age 70 of Avoca, died Tuesday at Bergen Mercy Medical Center. Funeral services for Gary Lee Madden will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Edith Schuizo, age 82 of Manila and formerly of Irwin, died Tuesday at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Edith Schuizo will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Irwin. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Russell Stalter, age 62 of Stewart, died Sunday. Funeral services for Russell Stalter will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Marilyn K. Sawyers, age 58 of Council Bluffs, died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Marilyn K. Sawyers will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Cutler O'Neill Meyer and Woodring Bayless Park Chapel in Council Bluffs. Richard Richter, age 87 of Wyota, died Tuesday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Richard Richter will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Kenneth Knudsen, age 84 of Ottawa, died Tuesday at the Elmwood Care Center. Funeral services for Kenneth Knudsen will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Keith Johnson, age 69 of Pilot Mountain, North Carolina, and formerly of Harlan, died Sunday. Celebration of Life services for Keith Johnson will be held Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Sherry Alder, age 50 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at her home. A memorial visitation for Sherry Alder will be held on Saturday from 2 until 4 p.m. at the main lounge of the Heritage House in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. And Jesse Smith, age 100 of Avoca, died Monday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Jesse Smith will be held at a later date. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.